What's happening, family? And welcome to the podcast, In the Black of My Mind. I'm your host, Al Thomas. Do me a favor, go down to the bottom of the screen and click subscribe and share and tell everybody. How many bodies? Everybody's. Tell everybody about the podcast. Today's guest is an amazing Billboard chart-topping singer, a solo artist with one of the best voices in the business, a songwriter, a beauty queen, and a philanthropist. Additionally, she's performed for legendary people such as Aretha Franklin, Pope John Paul II, at the Vatican, no less, and for the 42nd President of the United States, Bill Clinton, to name just a few. Welcome to the podcast, Cece Peniston. With my theme music. Welcome to the podcast, Cece Peniston. I'm sorry, that's my budget for sound effects, you know. So
it's okay, sweetie.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Yourself?
Oh, I'm good. I'm good. Thank you. Thank you once again. Thank you for coming on the podcast.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh no, please. I like to take it back because I'm a stickler for the backstory and stuff. Everybody wants to hear about what you're doing now and what's going, but I'm really a stickler for how you got to where you are and stuff. You know what I mean? So if you don't mind, where were you born?
I was born in Dayton, Ohio. My dad was in the military, and so we used to travel around a lot. With him being in the military. And so he was a master sergeant, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I was born in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, cool. And then you left Dayton and well, you're a military brat. So you I'm sure you traveled all around.
I'm a brat anyway.
Nice. Nice. Okay. So you came out to Phoenix with the fam?
Absolutely. My dad ended up coming to Arizona, retiring here. And so that's how we ended up staying in Arizona, doing base housing and all that stuff. So
Right. It's Arizona. What's out there? Fort Huachuca?
Luke Air Force Base. Further out, I think so. But definitely we were at Luke Air Force Base.
Okay. And so you how old were you when you got out to Arizona?
I was like 9.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the formative years you spent out there in Arizona.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, went to school here and everything.
So you how did you become involved in music?
I would say around probably the sixth grade. I was around 11 years old. I ended up from the sixth grade on, I ended up taking music class. There was a teacher there, Miss Goodnight was her name, and she was like, you know, it was required to have music in classes. She was like, you have such a great voice, you should come try out for the play that we have. And I was like, okay. I was like, Mom, the teacher says I should come try out for the play. So she was like, okay, baby. She goes, I'm gonna come see you in the play. Well, that's when she discovered that I could sing, because she really didn't know.
Oh, wow.
And so I ended up doing that play. And from that, I was like, ooh, this is what I want to do with my life.
Right.
You know,
right.
So I was nice. little young buck. And I was like, this is what I want to do. So I ended up singing around Arizona. From that point on, I was doing like little karaoke contests, you know, the little singing contests for like $300.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I would do that. And so then I also ended up doing beauty pageants. And so that helped me with not only the scene, but the poise and question and answer, all that kind of came into fruition.
And what's that little statue you got there in the back behind over your shoulder?
Oh, that's an Emmy. It's an Emmy that I got. It says, Outstanding Musical Composition Arrangement, Legends Unite for St. Jude.
Oh, nice.
Yes. It was people get ready. I did like a big thing. It was like Tony Terry, Allison Williams, Parise Smith, Skip Martin, among Taylor Dane. All these different people came together for People Get Ready.
Nice, nice,
We did
nice.
our own rendition, so
Okay.
that was for.
Now, do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have two brothers and one sister, and actually my baby brother is my manager. He and
Okay.
his wife are my team.
Okay.
And so, yeah.
Any other ones involved in music at all?
Not really. I'm pretty much the main one, that's involved in doing a recording career. It's funny because my mother was a modern dancer with Katherine Dunham, and
Oh,
my
wow.
dad used to be in the broadcasting world. For part of his life, he was doing radio broadcasting. So it was kind of like in the niche of,
Oh, yeah. It's the business. Yeah,
Yes.
no doubt, no doubt. How did you get started professionally?
Singing around Arizona, people started to recognize me when I would do like a lot of the different contests that I did here. And there was a producer that knew me from around the way, Felipe Delgado. And he was like, "Man, I'd love to put you in the studio." And I was like, "That would be great." So I ended up, my first body of work was actually with a guy named Marvelous JC. Marvelous JC, Give It All You Got. So
Oh,
then
okay.
my record deal came from. I did background vocals for another artist on A&M Records called Overweight Pooch. And I did three songs on her album, and they were like, "Hey, like, what other songs do you have? Like, do you have any other songs that you've done?" I was like, "Well, I have this one song, but I'm not sure if you're gonna like it or not," because I was brand new to the business. Turned out to be Finally.
Oh, wow.
And that's how I got the rest of my deal, my recording contract, because I had a single deal at first. And then they heard Finally and loved it, Finally blew up. And then next thing you know, it took 3 months for me to get in the studio and record the rest of my album.
Nice, nice. That that's my joint too.
Oh,
Finally, I'm
thank
like,
you.
please. When I found out that you were gonna do it, I was like, I'm telling everybody, yo, CeCe Peniston gonna get ready to come on my. Who's
Yeah.
CeCe? It's like, finally, this
Okay.
happened to me. Oh yeah. I know. Yeah. But
Yeah.
I, it's interesting because I always thought that you were from New York when I heard the music and stuff. I was like, because that's a New York sound. I don't,
Yes, I get
that's.
it.
Yeah. So, I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm automatically just thought, yeah, no, that's New York there. But I had no idea that you were out there in Arizona doing it and stuff.
Yeah, I was a straight Midwest girl from Dayton, Ohio, and then living in Arizona. So, I would say half Midwest, half here,
Hey, this is Marian Meadows, and you're listening to and watching In the Black of My Mind podcast.
That song blew up. They were like, "You get ready to travel the world." And I was like, "Oh, that's great." So then while I was traveling in between doing tours and stuff like that, then they gave me an album deal. And so with that album deal, I ended up finishing a full album in 3 months. And with that, it's like the rest is history. I've been doing music ever since.
And what label was that first album on?
A&M Records.
Okay. Good. Who are your role models?
Definitely Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle, Luther, Shirley Murdoch. Those are some of my favorites.
Okay. Have the opportunity to work with any of them through your career?
Actually, you know what? I sang for Aretha Franklin, who's another one of my
Oh,
faves.
yeah.
I did her birthday party. I remember she asked me, she's like, "Ms. Benson, I would love for you to come do my birthday party." I skidded to the side of the road because I was all excited. I was like, "Wait a minute." I was like, "Aretha wants me to do her party."
Nice.
And I got all excited. So it was an amazing experience.
Wow. Now this is and this is in Detroit.
Yeah, this was, yeah, she was having her birthday party after her little annual when she was doing it. She invited me back for a couple of her other parties that she had. So that was cool. And in the beginning of my career, when I first got into the business, I ended up meeting Patti and Luther. And, they were like, I was fanning out at the time because I was 21 and I hadn't met Patti or Luther yet. And I was like,
Right.
So
Wow.
that was an exciting time.
Oh, I'm sure. Did you have the opportunity to do many tours?
Yeah, I was touring all the time, especially in the beginning of my career. I mean, I was on the road like constantly. In fact, that first year I was out with finally, I was only home for like 3 weeks
Oh, wow.
because
Wow,
I was out
wow,
on the road so much.
wow.
It's like
Right,
I
right.
just lived in hotels, you know?
Living the dream, though.
Yeah, it
Yeah.
was amazing, amazing experience and time to be that youthful and young, to just be able to travel and just say, hey, this is what I want to do for my life and this is my dream, and to end up fulfilling that, to be able to just travel the world. Because most of the time, I feel like people can look on a map and they can see places in the world and you go, I wonder what it's like over there, but you never get a chance to see it. So I've culturally got to experience so much.
What's the coolest place that you had the opportunity to travel to and play?
I love Bali. Bali was amazing. Amsterdam is amazing. UK, amazing. When I went to Rome was really good. That's when I did the audience with the Pope, and that was an amazing experience. Andrea Bocelli was there. We had done a project called Sisters of Glory. And so that was like a whole nother event rather than my regular singing that I do. It was with a group of people, Phoebe Snow, like was doing it at Burns. Yes, Phoebe Snow. She later, of course, she passed like during the project, but we ended up going out with like Diane Reeves, Lois Walden, was Shaka Thelma Houston was there. I said Diane, Mavis Staples. Like we were all doing this big event. And then Albertina Walker was on it. Sorry, I had gotten a text. Albertina Walker and Dorothy Norwood, they were also on the project. So it was like I was the baby of the group at the time. So that was an amazing experience.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice.
Hi, this is Greg Thomas of Parliament Funkadelic, and you're listening to In the Black of My Mind podcast. Check us out. Woof.
We're no longer the old modality where the brick and mortar and albums and CDs and cassettes and things of that nature. Now it's all everything's online and
Right.
how has that affected your music?
Definitely like the streaming has affected, I think, every single artist that's in this business. You know, you're not getting the same checks. It's not that you're not. Now I'm getting checks, especially when I started fussing. I started fussing a little bit and I got my checks. But it's still like when you look at checks, it's not the same amount of money that you would normally get because of the percentage rate. And I think it really wanes a lot of artists, makes them feel like, do they want to do music as much? Because there's no payoff for the artist. The only thing the good thing about when you put out new music, especially if you have a label or people that can push it monetarily, is it's a good marketing tool. It keeps you relevant. It keeps you out into the music industry. So those are the good things that's going on with it. So if you can look at it in a way as a marketing tool to keep you relevant within the music business and people like are still listening, but you're not going to make the same amount of checks. So you got to weigh your pros and your cons about your marketing, your marketing dollars, your radio dollars, all those things.
How did you do during the pandemic? How did that affect you?
Oh, it affected me. For real, like, because I was, you're used to touring and you're not getting the same money. So it was a little stressful, I'm not gonna lie, but it taught me to lean on the man above and just say, hey, hey, he always works it out. He always does, you know what I mean? So I definitely was, I was going through my stuff, my thing, but I luckily, like I said, being able to get some checks from what I do for my royalties, that helped me to, be able to offset. Because all of a sudden it was like I had all these shows booked and you had the contracts, but all of a sudden the promoter started holding the checks back. And you're like, wait a minute, you said you were going to send that so and so and so. You know what I mean? Like, so you just had to adjust. Yes.
Wow. And that's kind of interesting as well, because I've talked to a bunch of different artists and some said that they did well because they d during that period of time, they wrote more than they ever did, or they mm-hmm. you know, started practicing, recorded considerably more. But some were, you know, were just really in bad shape as a result of it, because, as you said, you know, were unable to tour and stuff, and that's where,
yeah.
especially because a lot of my friends are side musicians, so you know, it's not like they have these royalties coming in from, you know, from their songs or something. They play for all these different artists, and as a result of the tour shutdown, they weren't able to make any money.
But you know what I can say is that about the pandemic is it taught me to be better prepared. So I appreciated the lesson of being stronger. I became stronger as an artist, and I planned more ahead. So mm-hmm. now it's like, you know, you never know what can happen. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I save, you know, differently because of that. And I don't just count on that money coming in. Mm-hmm. I just save differently. So it's like your hindsight is 20/20. Well, who knew that was going to happen?
Exactly.
No one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what are you doing now?
I'm still singing. I'm still, mm-hmm. I've been in the studio. I actually recorded 4 new songs. Natasha Pierce, I did a collaboration with her. A guy named Fleetwood Kelly. Mm-hmm. I did something with Shazam of H-Town. And okay. then I did a song for the Real Funky Bunch. And I've also been in the studio doing what I do for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on my own stuff right as we speak. I have a tour in Australia coming up at the end of the month.
Oh, wow.
Where I'll be in Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne. There's another city there, too, that I'm supposed to do. I have a show in Australia coming. I mean, San Francisco, some casinos dates in October, and then also the Roots Picnic coming up.
I was just getting ready to say, my daughter was telling me you're doing the Roots Picnic. I was like,
awesome. I'm doing the Roots. I'm excited about it. Yeah.
I mean, I may have to see if I can come down there and see you all and stuff. You know, I've
that
not been
be
to
great.
Any of the Roots picnics yet, so I'm overdue. And I haven't been to Philly in a while. I used to play at, what's the name of that? Warm Daddies.
Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I did a gig there before with Kindred the Fam. They were having like a podcast thing that they were doing, mm-hmm. and then mm-hmm. they would have the artist perform with the band that was there. So that was a very cute transition. I loved
it. Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah, I haven't seen them in a minute. Wow.
Yeah.
Any words of wisdom for brothers and sisters that are just getting into the industry and stuff?
Dream big, but you know, understand that this business is one of those businesses where it's like you got to be on your P's and Q's, and if you really want to be in this business, you got to learn the business. Because there's pros and the cons. The streaming is not as good, but hey, you can be your own artist. You may not get a big label deal, but hey, you can have your own label. Mm-hmm. With the marketing dollars and stuff, like if you get an investor, you can have an investor do, you know, a lot of, sorry, my small little dog in the back.
Oh, no worries.
You can have an investor that invests in you. The biggest thing that you want from anybody that you're working with is to make sure that team or the people that you're working with believe in you. Make sure that they believe in you, because there's going to be good points and there's going to be bad points. And you just want to make sure that when someone says, I believe in you, they trust the process.
Right,
the biggest thing I can really tell the artists out of the 20 over the words that I said, trust the process.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I got some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
What are your hobbies?
Oh, I'm a nerd. I love to cook.
Uh-huh.
So I can, you know, when I get in trouble, I can cook. I'll be like, babe, but I cooked your favorite meal. You know?
Okay.
So I love to cook. I like to write poetry. Mm-hmm. Hanging out with friends, hanging out with my girlfriends. I love to like have gatherings, get togethers, play games, you know, do those kind of things. Those were some of my faves. I used to love decorating outfits. I haven't done it as much lately, but I used mm-hmm. to make some of my own outfits. I would take some. I'd be like, let me put some fringe and some rhinestones on there. I was a bedazzler, so
okay.
I haven't done it in a while. Yeah.
Nice.
Hi, I'm Robbie Jenkins, and you're watching the In the Black of My Mind podcast with Al Thomas.
What is the greatest accomplishment of your life to date?
I think just being able to be in the business as long as I have since 1990, I think is a great accomplishment.
Oh, no doubt.
In itself, but I would say probably the biggest thing, one of the biggest things I was happy about is historically, I was one of the first women and Black women to go over after apartheid in South Africa.
Oh, wow.
So I would say that that's probably one of the things that stand out in my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, what was that like going when, because apartheid was quote unquote abolished, but them old boys were still around.
Yeah, you know what? I think on the musical side, you don't see things as the way as probably they're presented in that manner, because you're simply there to do concert. You're there to heal hearts and add joy to people's life.
Right.
And so you don't see it in the same vein as when you're just walking around, and maybe the attitude or the temperature of what was going on in that moment. Yeah, the thing that I got from it is people were excited. They were excited to see me there. I was excited to be there. So like, again, the temperature of what was going on a global, you know, platform doesn't resonate in the same type of way.
Gotcha. And one of my friends played Sun City during the apartheid. And he said in order for him to perform, he had to be made an honorary white man.
What?
I thought that was, he had to be made an honorary white man in order to perform in Sun City where he was performing.
Wow.
And he said when he performed, they had armed machine gunners on either side of the stage. And I was like, oh, man, I want to go to I want to go to South Africa. But I kept saying during that period of time, but I want to go when this apartheid thing is over. So it's been over for some time now. So I definitely want to go over it. Marion's over there now.
You know, I believe it. Marion is so talented. You know, it's so crazy that you say, like, there's armed guards and guns and stuff by the side of the stage. It's like I had an experience one time where that has to be nerve-wracking. I was on stage. Before I went and hit the stage, someone had threatened the venue that I went on that they were going to start a shootout.
Oh, wow.
And I had to end up, like, we had to, like, have, there was armed guards. They tried to trace down who had said what. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, just seeing that and you're getting ready to go on stage was very nerve-wracking. You know what I mean?
Oh, no
but
doubt.
They ended up doing a surveillance of the venue and people and all that stuff. And they deemed it was all right and safely I could get on stage. But it was still, like, just the thought pattern of someone saying that, you know?
Oh, yeah, please. No doubt. I'm like, you know, check, please.
I was shook.
Yeah,
especially it took me like through getting through the first song and I missed some cues in my music. The choreographer was like, what happened? I was like, well, this is what happened. And he was like, oh, I can understand that for sure.
Right.
You know.
What's on your bucket list?
Wow, that's a good one. Right now, to continue to travel the world and go to places like I've never been. Like Santorini is one of the places I would love to go. I love Italy. I've been to Italy before, and I just absolutely loved it. So to be able to go back, that would be great. To have another hit that people would absolutely love, because there's good music and then there's a hit.
Right.
To be able to have another hit that people absolutely love within this time frame, I often imagine and say, what would it have been like if finally had come out now? I often wonder what would have happened, you know, the fact that it's lasted, but just what would it look like now, you know?
Right.
Man, I would say jumping out of a plane, but I don't think I would make it out the door.
I'm good. None for me. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't think Black people like doing that too much of that.
No, I'm good. None for me.
Oh.
I'm a veteran as well, and when I finished basic training, they tried to get us to go to jump school. They said, well, you can make an extra $50 a month if you go to jump school. I'm like, $50 ain't enough money to get a brother to jump out of a plane. Oh, no, I'm good.
I would have palpitations, but it's like often people say crazy stuff like that that they would do. I'm not doing no bungee jumping. Mm-mm. You could probably barely get me to go camping. I'll go glamping.
So what do you consider glamping?
Look, like, the trailer. Like,
oh, I was going to say the Holiday Inn.
No, like maybe an outside trailer. I don't know if I'm going to be out with lions and tigers and bears and stuff.
Oh,
like
no,
that.
I'm not doing that. I'm not doing
that. Yeah, but if we have like a little RV and we could cook out and camp out like that, I would do that. That would be fun.
Okay.
I'm with it. Cooking on a fire, you know.
Yeah. Oh, no, please. Yeah. Yeah. No, I my mom's and pops had a RV, so I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I would do that.
What skill would you most like to learn?
Man, if I had my choice, it would probably be sewing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I feel like if I knew how to sew, I could make so many show outfits. Mm. I would never go out and buy stuff. I would always make my own clothes.
Right.
And just, you know, if I could be fabulous at that, that would be a game changer.
Mm. Oh, yeah, please.
Yeah.
What makes you unique?
I think my personality makes me unique. My take on life makes me unique. I think we're all unique anyway once we're born into this world. Mm. Everyone has a very unique personality and spirit. There's never another you. Mm-hmm. But I think that is, it's my personality, my heart, the way I present. I think my being in the, you know, music career that I have, I think vocally, what also makes me unique is that my pronunciation, how I pronounce words in songs, mm-hmm. and my take on how I vocally, you know, maneuver within a song. I think that makes me unique. Mm. I used to not think that until I listened back to myself one day and I was like, why did I say that like that? Because I said, instead of spare, I was like, where'd that come from? it was a word in a song that I did. And it's like the way I pronounced it was so different. Like, but I kept it because I was like, oh, that's CeCe right there. That's what people like. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Who is your hero?
Who is my hero? I would have to say my mother was my hero. Mm. God rest her soul. You know, she was my hero. She was my everything. She would tell me when I was right, when I was wrong. Mm. She'd tell me when I do good, when I do bad. You know, she was a phenomenal woman and she was loved by many. And so it's like, I'm so grateful to have had such a beautiful soldier in my life to help me maneuver through this world.
Yeah, blessing. What is the most important decision that you've made to date?
I would have to say to keep going. Mm. To keep going, because life be laughing sometime.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And, you know, this is not an easy world to be in. It's not too an easy daily world to be in. You have to continuously reinvent yourself, represent yourself differently because people get bored. I get bored. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you have to constantly grow the way you present yourself, the way you reinvent yourself so that you're always relevant for this time, not just in the music industry, but spiritually, physically, mentally, like just reinventing. So to keep going through hurt, pain, through grief, through, like I said, life be life in some
time. Yeah, no matter what life throws at you.
Yeah, you gotta get up every single day and present differently. Because I always say you never know what somebody else is going through.
Right.
And you can have all the makeup on in the world that you want, but underneath, like, what are you dealing with on a regular basis? Right. Yeah.
Right.
This is a mask.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about clowns. You know, clowns have that makeup and they have that face, but nobody understands what the clown goes through and stuff. You know, everybody's just thinking, oh, he makes me laugh. He's she's happy, whatever. But they have no idea, you know, what is, as you say, that mask, what's underneath that mask.
Absolutely, it makes a difference. So that's why you got to check on your strong friends, not just on your strong friends, just on your friends, on your people, your tribe, and check on people, like, and especially in the climate of what we're dealing with in this today's times.
Definitely.
Hi, my name is Howard Cloud. Please watch In the Black of My Mind with host Al Thomas.
What's your favorite song? Not song that you wrote or a song that you sang. What's your favorite song?
You're going to crack up. I request it at every little party I go to. Okay. I like the way you kiss me when we're playing a kissing game.
Oh,
that's,
hey, man.
Cut right there.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that.
I make my family sing everything. They're like, okay, we know you like, I like the way.
And who's your favorite group?
So one of them would be High Five, because they sing I Like the Way. So that would be one of my favorite groups. Love New Edition. Classic songs, classic music. Drew Hill.
Oh yeah.
Classic
oh, yeah.
songs, classic music.
Yeah.
I mean, I think those are the classics from, you know, from when in the 90s when I came out, especially 80s and 90s more, because actually New Edition came out 80s. So, but
The end of the 80s and into the 90s, and my brother Bernard with the group Surface.
That's one of my favorites too. Only you can make me happy. Yes.
Yeah. See, now I'm gonna clip this and send it to him today. As soon as I get off here.
That was great.
Yeah.
That was a great album for real. Like I remember listening to that all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I used to listen to them, Shirley Murdoch a lot, Billie Holiday.
Shirley Murdoch. Yeah.
When I was younger, Billie Holiday.
Oh, yeah.
That was I think that's where I get my jazz feel from.
Was there music in the house?
Oh, yeah. In fact, I was the one listening to music all the time. I would kick my brother out of his room. He would get so amped. I'm like, Mom, can you kick him out so I can listen to my music? Because he had the stereo in his room.
Oh, wow.
She was like, get out. No, doggone it. Now, you don't you need to listen to her music. He was like, dang, Mom, why you got to kick me out of my room?
So what were you listening to back then?
Billie Holiday a lot. Let's see. One of my peers, Jennifer Holliday.
Oh yeah.
Shirley Murdoch, Patti LaBelle, Marvin Gaye. You know, yeah. Surface.
We listen to certain folks, and we kind of, you know, we take different things from the different artists that we listen to and stuff. That's why I was curious. I was like, who does she listen to? Where does she get that thing from?
You know, I think I got some of it from Billy, like when she used to sing, In My Solitude, You Haunt Me. All those, the dips and stuff
I
think that's where I get some of my energy from, is from listening to music such as that, like the jazz feel. Because people tell me sometimes, they're like, you're a dance artist, but you have a jazz feel to you somewhat. So
I can see that. I can see that.
Jazz and funk. They tell me jazz and funk, like when I sing certain songs. So
okay.
Shaka too.
Yeah.
Because Shaka has those dips in her voice too. And it's the beginning and the ends of how she pronounces stuff. And that's
right.
feel like I have too, like the endings and the beginnings. So
I got one more of the quick hitters. It may be the most difficult of them. Tell me your life story in one sentence.
Wow. Wow. That's hard for me to do. And it was at that moment that she knew.
Nice. And when was that moment for you that you knew, okay, I'm there. I have arrived.
When I was standing in my mother's kitchen and finally came on, and that's when I knew. I knew that my dream had come true. What I had put into the universe was finally paying me back. So I would say that was one of the moments. But I feel like we're always at a point where, because of reinventing yourself, I feel like you never fully arrive. You're always trying to get there on this journey called life. You're trying to, you know, adjust to your age. You're trying to adjust to your growth, to your life experience. There's so many things there, you know?
That's interesting, yeah. I used to have a gospel band called A Better Way. And, you know, real, real funky, you know, but we didn't compromise the word. And one Sunday morning, I was going to church, and I'm listening to WBLS. And,
yes.
And our song came on BLS. And I'm calling all the band members, yo, man, we on BLS, and, you know. So, and then ironically, almost a year to the day, I was in court getting out of the record deal.
Wow. Ain't that funny how that happens? Mm-hmm. You know what? I would say if people just did not have God in their life, if I did not have God in my life, it would make a big difference, because it's like there's so many twists and turns, and there's really good people, mm-hmm. and then there's really bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are looking for the next come up, who are looking to take advantage. You know, I hear so many stories of artists not getting royalties, being taken advantage of. And it's very unfortunate that people look at people to take from them solely. And, you know, it just can't be upfront. It's like, why can't we all eat?
Exactly.
Why can't we all eat? It's just, it's very unfortunate how artists are going through it. You know, and you don't really know. Like, you know, I just saw the thing with Dawn Robinson talking about how she was living in her car for 3 years. And that's just very unfortunate.
Yeah.
And then Angie Stone, but, you know, rest in peace. You know, just, you know, not getting her royalties.
Her royalties, yeah.
And that's how many songs did she write for people? And how unfortunate is that, that she did not get what she was deserving of?
Exactly.
And she was definitely deserving of her royalties.
Oh, truly, truly.
You know?
Truly. Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's a greater a power at work out there. The greatest of all is, we know, is our Master and Savior. But there's a satanic thing that's out there that just, you know, just looking to seek it and devour, and you know, and it's unfortunate, but it is what it is, you know. But if we stay rooted and grounded, we'll be all right.
Yeah, I tell people all the time, please don't sign anything without getting a lawyer to see you, to see your contract and your paperwork. Please don't be so excited to get into the business that you'll sign anything, because literally in one sheet, you can sign your life away. People don't understand the word perpetuity. The word
perpetuity
means forever. Yeah, that means you're not getting it back. Like, you can't take it back. So, you know, make sure you sign the right deal. And if you ever see the word perpetuity,
make sure
you look even closer.
Run. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. I mean, it's like, you know, so many folks that lost the use of their likeness. Prince, for instance. The Cookies, Famous Amos. He couldn't use his name or his likeness. He couldn't. He got it back before he passed away, but he couldn't use his name or his, you know. So when he came out with when they basically took his cookie company, he came out with a new company, but it was like no name cookies, because he couldn't use Amos anymore.
Well, someone had my name trademarked for a long time, and I finally got the use of mine. You know. I got my trademark, so you know, you have to just fight for and just wait, because eventually your time is coming around. Like, it's, no one can just keep doing the same thing forever, you know. It doesn't happen that way. As far as their behavior, they can't keep the same behavior up. Like I said, perpetuity on contracts, yes, but the same behavior, like, people opt out of situations and they opt out of like the seats of like a CEO, and they opt out of like position.
Interesting. I saw somewhere that you play piano.
I used to, but I was a bad kid and I didn't practice. So
Oh,
I was
well.
like, dang, I could have been doing an Alicia Keys up in here if I had practiced. I could have been playing and singing and accompanying myself and everything. Her and John Legend, you know, that was such a valuable thing that I didn't continue, you know.
Use it for your songwriting?
I hear it helps me to be a better singer. I would definitely say that because it's like I hear notes in my head as far as pitch wise. I'm able to harmonize with myself and different things. So I think in that way, it taught me to be a better artist and all that.
If you were to say that you were of a certain school, vocally, whose school would you come under?
I would say Shaka and Billy. I would say that would
Okay.
be Shaka, Billy, and Patty. Maybe like somewhere in that because there's the I can do ballads, but then I do dance music. But then I do EDM. Then I do EDM music. Then I do, you know what I'm saying? So I do R&B. So it's just I'm not in one particular box, but I have many different facets of what I do. I mean, that's an amazing thing because if I needed to do different types of shows, I could do them. So for me, that's I'm grateful that I'm able to do those different genres and enjoy those different genres and people receive that from me. Because Finally was an odd album, and I'll say that because it had R&B, it had ballads, and it had dance music. But for some odd reason, it just all fit together.
Now, is finally, is that considered house? Is that considered
House, dance, pop house.
okay, all right.
A little bit of all three. Because it's dance music, it's pop music, and it's house music. But then it has an R&B feel to it because of the don't, you know? So it has has a little bit of different stuff in it.
So what you into? What you doing with the rest of your day?
Oh, I'm gonna go pick up my hair. I thought I'd make you laugh. So I've got to go just do a couple of errands, got to go to the gym later. Just go in my office, listen to a couple of these. I found some old music of mine, so I want to go listen to it. It was on cassette, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I wanted to hear what it sounded like because I have all these different things that I'm working on for the documentary. Eventually, when someone puts that into place for me, I have a couple of people inquire, so I'm working on
Hold up,
that.
press the pump the brakes. You got a documentary coming out? Or
I'm
working
working
on them,
on
excuse me, yeah.
I'm working on my end of the documentary. Someone had asked about me doing it. So it's all stuff of me singing live when I was younger, like 18, 19 years old, singing on different events, radio stuff. So yeah, I got that. And I have a movie. Actually, I have a script that's been written about my life, but no one has taken the script yet.
Oh,
Yeah.
nice.
I had people
Nice.
inquire.
Nice, nice.
So yeah, that's what I'm doing. Just taking it easy peasy. Going over my music for my new show that I have. I've been working on, so I'll go over that music too as well.
And how long is your set?
About 25 minutes, 20, 20, 25 minutes, yeah.
And now when you do the well when you do the Roots Picnic, Roots are backing you up.
No, actually, I have a different set that I'm doing. That would have been dope if the Roots could have done something like that. So I was working on a different show for that, actually. Just in general, that's one of the reinvention things I'm working on for myself, just coming out with a new set because I feel like when you keep doing shows, you know, it can get stale, you know, once people have seen the same thing. So you kind of just want to give them something different. From a new look to, I guess, like that's me transitioning from dark hair to blonde hair. Like people were like, okay, she transitioned from the dark hair to blonde, so I got to get like pictures made with my blonde hair. That look. So that, you know, when I show up, it looks the same,
Yeah,
you know?
they won't be surprised.
Yeah, because I'm used to my like short dark hair or my long straight.
the first time I saw Larry Graham in concert, I had always seen the album cover, and he had this, I didn't realize it was a wig at the time, but it was, he had a big curly fro and stuff, you know?
Okay.
So I see him at the Old Felt Forum in New York, and he comes out on stage, and I'm like, I'm looking around, it's like, where's Larry at? They had a bass player up there, but where's Larry? And it was Larry up there playing bass, but he had a little, little TWA and stuff, you know. I was like,
okay. But you know what, artists, we have stuff that puts it together, because people always ask me, it's like, you know, what is it that helps you put your look together? It's like your wig pieces, your different, the outfits that you have, having a stylist, like all those things really help out as far as, you know, putting the look together and keeping it consistent. I have a makeup artist, hair artist, I have a sound engineer guy. Mm-hmm. Like, I want my makeup and hair artist with me on a regular basis, because that keeps your look consistent.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? People want to see consistency, so.
Exactly.
That's what I tell artists, you know, always try to do your best as far as showing up on, you know, the way that you would show up as an artist. Don't just step out any old kind of way. Don't come on like podcast looking any old kind of way. Because some people do, you know.
Right. Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely.
And it's like, who is that? Is that her? I really didn't know as a younger artist, as like people look at so much of that. But I realized as I got older that people really do look at continuity.
Oh, yeah.
They look at the continuity from the band to the dancers to the, you know, to you. To like, and they have a look in their mind, and it's like, I've gotten a couple of notes. Somebody told me I had some outfit on, and they were like, "I need you to get a stylist." I said, "Look, I have a stylist. I chose to wear this garment because I was trying to go for like a certain look. Uh-huh. So I was trying something," and he was like, "He wasn't happening." So I was just like, "Noted. I got you. No worries."
Okay.
You know, because people are not, they're not nice on Instagram.
Oh, I know.
You ever go in the comment section and see something and people are lighting people up?
Yeah. You know, I used to all the time, but I stopped because I found myself angry and going after people and stuff. And we're going at it back and forth and stuff. And it's like, nah, that's not good. I can't give them my energy like that.
Right. And I get that. I get that part.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you got to be mindful, because it'll take you down the rabbit hole, I call it.
Exactly.
And you can just, you know how you get on the Instagram and you're like, oh, I'll just get on there real quick. An hour later, you're still on there. You're like, damn it, I said I wouldn't go stay on here.
You know? Yeah, yeah. And yeah. The folks are just, you know, draw you in. And they're computer giants, if you will. I mean, they would never say these things to your face. You know, but they get behind these screens and stuff, and some of the stuff that they put up there is just out of control. It's like you can't believe this foolishness. Is this clickbait here? What is going on? I'm not understanding.
Yeah, sometimes, like I said, people are nice. They got people trolling them and fake accounts that they got to be dealing with. I had a fake account actually from somebody that was trolling people for $300, and people think it's real, and I'm like, that is not me.
Right.
Yeah, that is not me. I'm like, you know, that would be nice, but that is not me.
Yeah.
You know, and I reported the page and everything, and it still has been sitting up there. So I just was like, there's just not only so much that I can do. So I just was like, whatever.
Right. Now you're sitting in your house now?
I am.
And what room is that?
That's the living room area.
Okay, nice. Very nice.
Thank you. Yeah, I got all my, you can see my little gold albums on the wall up there.
Oh, yeah.
Right here.
Now I can see it more. Yeah. When I grow up. Nice.
That's the man above, you know, blessing. And beautiful, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely a blessing. How can people contact you on social media?
Instagram is CC Peniston. Facebook is the official CC Peniston Facebook page. I'm not really on Twitter. It's CC _ Peniston. I have a TikTok, the real CC Peniston. That would be the main ways. Okay. Or if you need to book me, management@ccpenniston.com.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm gonna let you go, but thank you so much. Right. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me again. I appreciate it.
Oh no. Pleasure is all mine. So we connected now. So
okay,
you,
I know,
you stuck, right? You stuck with me, so
I know, that's great.
Nothing you could do about it. You stuck with me. But thank you so much.
You have a beautiful day.
You too.
Okay. All thanks. Right. Bye-bye.
Peace. This has been another episode of In the Black of My Mind podcast. Make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and share. Until next week, y'all be blessed.